Welcome to Season 4 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, hosted by Ruby Pinto and produced by Gary Gibson. Welcome to episode 101 of Soccer Over Gotham. This is the 6-point edition. We have a great show for all of you. What do we have in this episode, Gary?
This episode is doubly good. We got two games. We got two wins, we got two goals, two Lynn Williams goals, two shutouts, two Ann Katrine shutouts, and two games yellow card free for Emily Sonnet. All that in one episode. We got a bunch of fan polls in this one. We got Hero of the Month, Hero of the Match, The Pessimist's Win. I'll explain. Kelly O'Hara announces her retirement. We will talk about her legacy. We also got CONCACAF Champions League updates. We know who we're not playing in the group stage. Then we're going to break down both of these games. Although similar outcomes, these are two very different games. We will get to another away game. We'll get ready for another away game this Sunday by previewing Gotham's match against a team that Gotham still has yet to win or even draw against, which is the San Diego Wave. But first, Ruby, how are you?
Hello, hello. We're back for another episode. I'm doing great. And I just want to complain a little. So, well, I guess it was my fault because I should have known. I went to go get a car wash because my car did not look red. It's red, but didn't look red. It was all yellow because of the pollen that's like falling and it's spring and whatever. I was like, all right, my car's disgusting. I got to go get it washed. So I went to the car wash and then I was looking while it was like getting washed. I was like on my phone and looking at the app. I'm like, oh great, it's gonna rain tonight. So I was like, damn, I should have checked the weather before I went, but oh well, it still needed it. So
it's still clean, just clean and rained on. So
yeah,
it's still better than having pollen all over it.
I know, it's crazy out there. I'm taking meds. It's not as bad as other people that I hear. I know Courtney's having like bad time with this. Mine is not that bad, but I am taking meds because sometimes I feel like, it's bad.
Yeah. It seems to be getting worse and worse every year for some people.
It is.
Don't know what
How
it
you
is.
How you been?
I've been all right. This is my first week of a new semester. I got two fun classes this semester, social media strategy and strategic storytelling. So I want to really dive into these classes. I know these are certainly going to help me.
Yeah.
Move forward. But trying to find time with everything else that I do, it's been crazy. This week has been all gas and no breaks. And this is mental.
And we had two games. So
yeah, that. This is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I'm trying to stay sane. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So maybe I got to take a day off work or something just to decompress.
Yeah.
It's my first week tomorrow already.
Mental health break. That's good. It's good to do it from time to time. Sometimes we just need a break. What do I do for mental health? Usually what I do, I like TikTok. It's stupid videos. Watch videos just to disconnect. Then I like to look at positive quotes, and I like to stick to quotes. And when I was talking to my therapist, there's times that I'm like, oh, have you heard about this quote? I like this quote. And she's like, you like quotes a lot. And I'm like, I do.
Remind me to give you my favorite quote at the end of the episode in the random thoughts.
Okay.
Okay. Let's jump into the show. First, we're going to start, as I mentioned, we have a lot of fan polls in this podcast. The first one was the fan vote for Hero of the Month of April. Now, there was only two games, but the fans chose, first was Bruninha, Ryan, Esther, and Sonnet. And Sonnet won at 37%, Esther at 25%, Ryan at 28%, and Bruninha at 10%. Ruby, do you agree? Hero of the Month of April.
Oof. Hero of April. I think for me, it was Ryan. Yeah. Even though she only got 28%, I think for me it was Ryan. She's been hustling. She's been stepping up now that Mitch Purse is not playing and she's injured. So for me, it's Ryan. How about you?
Yeah, 6 chances created for Ryan. I think she's had the best start of the season of anybody on the team. She's been excellent since filling in for Mitch that first game when she got hurt. So yeah, for me, it's definitely Ryan as well. Now, I do think Sonnet has been very good. Mm-hmm. The first game, a little bit shaky getting used to the new system, but she's been excellent playing in multiple positions. I think her and Hyatt have been great, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And I think that Sonnet gives Amuro's some good problems to have. He's got he's got some options to play her at different positions. So yeah, well done, Sonnet. So I do agree with the fans that she had a great month of April, but for me, it is Ryan. Now, getting to our podcast, we have a new review, which I thought was funny. So congrats on the 100th episode, another 5-star review for us. Mm. From California, I listen to your podcast every week at night before going to sleep. Thanks for doing that. M. Campos Torres via Apple Podcast. So I say thank you to you for putting that review out there. We really appreciate it. But Ruby, we're putting people to sleep. What's going on here?
I know. I was about to say, I was like, I hope that you fall asleep like at the very, very end, maybe at the like random thoughts. But yeah. Hey, you still listening to us every week. Thank you for doing that. If it helps you go to sleep, hey, that's something good we're doing, I guess, out there. But thank you. No, for real. Thank you for the review. 5 stars. We'll take it. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Should we make the post-credit scene just like some rain and rain sounds and help people fall asleep?
Oh, that sounds good. It's like an outro with the rain.
Yeah, I should do that. But other things that happen to our podcast, like I really don't pay attention to numbers and where we are in chart positions, but we get emails weekly from like these companies that do the charts. And I clicked on them this week just to see, you know, where we're at. And we moved up to number 45 on the Apple Podcast United States America Soccer category, which is ridiculous because we've never been above like 70 or 80. So being at number 45 in the entire United States for soccer podcasts, that's pretty darn
cool. It's great. That it's awesome. That is so good. Yeah, I can't believe it. But thank you guys for listening. We're number 45. Let's get to top 20s.
Yeah, we're talking about that like before the show. I don't know. The reason why I don't really pay attention to these things is I don't know what goes into these things as far as like maybe everyone else had a slow week.
Yeah.
Or like we'll get some episodes where we get like a lot of numbers and then it's like we're out of the top 100. Then we get one that's like doing okay and then we're up at 45. So it's like, I don't know. But I'll take it. It's a win and I'll put it on our resume. And our friends over at Good Pods, which I think is a social media platform just for like podcasts, we were number 10 in the 100 soccer weekly chart.
So, ooh.
Another one. All right, let's get over some team news, shall we?
Let's go.
All right, Kelly O'Hara announced her retirement at the end of the season, which is a bummer. Ruby, your thoughts?
I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm not, especially because she's been injured a lot. Mm-hmm. So I feel like with playing less time, like you're getting older and all of that, I'm surprised, but I'm not. But I mean, she's just an incredible player. We cannot deny that. There's no doubt that she's an incredible player. I was watching her video, I think it was on Twitter, about her and how she started playing soccer, how at first, like, she didn't really like that was not her thing. That was not what she really wanted to do until she got rejected in a roster. And she was like, all right, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And she was determined to be one of the best, and look at her.
Yeah, I think coming to Gotham, I think she had a plan. She went on a 2-year contract with no trade clause. I think she wanted to come here. I think she wanted to retire here. So good for her for that. And obviously, she's one of the best competitors in the world of soccer. She started late as far as like becoming a really good soccer player. But she was a forward that transferred to a outside back and has been one of the best that we've ever seen. She's won, you know, she had the Hermann Trophy, she got the World Cup champions, Olympic gold medalist, NWSL champion, on and on and on. She's one of the best winners in this sport as well. So it's a player that you just want to root for, and she's done amazing things both on and off the field, and she's got a head for business. She's always into some kind of new business venture, so she's going to be fine. And another player like Krieger, where it's like they have so much talent that they could do 10 different things, whatever they want to do. The world is theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It feels like it's like an end of an era. You know, Lloyd retired, Krieger, Rapinoe, now O'Hara, all amazing players. And O'Hara will definitely be missed. And she said that she would retire once like two things happen. Either she stopped loving the game or her body was not able to play anymore. And in this case, it looks like her body's not, you know, she's not 20 anymore. So yeah, her body's feeling it with all these injuries that she has suffered lately. And I guess her body's just telling her it's time. And like you said, she's really talented. And I'm pretty sure she's going to start like broadcasting just like Krieger. We've seen her on TV. So I think that's the direction she wants to go.
Yeah, the world is her. She can do whatever she wants to do. And hopefully she can win another championship before she goes. And yeah. One of those is the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And we had a real quick update on the CONCACAF W Champions Cup. Basically, they decided who is going to be on what side versus the other. And we know who we're not playing, which is pot two was Gotham FC and San Diego Wave. And one of those two is going to play on one group. One of them is going to be on the other. So we know we're not playing them, at least at the beginning. I'm excited for this tournament. I'm excited to see Tigres, Club America. I hope we get paired with a lot of the Mexican teams. There's Vancouver Whitecaps in that as well. I want to play some teams that are outside of, you know, the United States. So I'm looking forward to that. And again, this is going to be five teams per group in the top two advance. And the preliminary round is August 13th through the 15th. And then it continues group stage. And then final round will be May 22nd to 25th to 2025.
I'm not even the one traveling and I'm not even the one playing, but just looking at all these dates, I already feel exhausted. but since I am the one watching, I am really excited to see Gotham play this international tournament. Like you said, it'll be interesting to see them play other teams other than the NWSL. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how, you know, their style of play goes against other teams.
Yeah, you mentioned it, though. The travel is going to be craziness. That's just, like, I'll be excited when I get there and when I'm watching it. But, again, as you said, like, the thought of them traveling all over the place to play these games is going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, us watching it is different. Like, we're excited to go see them play. But yeah. Just poor players.
So let's jump over to these games. We have two really good games. Gotham is getting healthy. And coming into this week, we were desperate for a win, especially at home where we have not won in five games. There was 6,184 in attendance for this one. The Courage had just played a midweek game where they were picked apart by Bandemonium and the Pride, and they are looking for a bounce back. Now, the injury report, unfortunately, Tanner Davidson was still on the injury report this week. Kristen Edmonds was still out for her knee. Kelly O'Hara, Midge Purse, both Smiths, and McCall-Zerboni still out for her knee. Maitani was still questionable with an illness, which turned out to be some kind of bronchitis, I think she mentioned on her Instagram. Now, Sinead and Rose were off the injury list completely, which is amazing. Now, getting over to the formation, we had Berger in goal, Bernina, Sonnet, and Hyatt in the center back pairing. I'm sure we're going to talk about them a lot on this podcast. Neiswanger out left, the midfield of Ryan, Martin, and Sheehan. And then the forwards of Stevens, Gonzalez, and Williams. Ruby, your thoughts on either the injury list or the lineup?
Well, I'm glad it's getting shorter. One point there. But it kind of sucks that Davidson, it's still in that list. I was hoping her to be back. Not this game, but the following game. So that was a bummer. Hopefully it's nothing serious. Now about this lineup, I think it's a solid starting 11. But I thought it was interesting to see Stevens up top and starting. So I was intrigued to see her play in that position with Gotham.
Yeah, Stevens been good. She's looked excellent. And we'll talk about this later, but credit to the scouting team. She seems to fit perfectly in this roster. Mm-hmm. Now, this is two games in a row. We have the same center back pairing, which is also interesting. This is not our first, second, or third pairing, but Hyatt and Sonnet look really good together. And, you know, it looks like going into this game, I think Gotham's going for a little bit of pace by bringing Stevens into the lineup, because it seemed like midweek, Orlando was just getting behind North Carolina's defense. So I think Gotham was trying to do the same thing and use their speed to overcome the Courage's press. Now, it's also interesting to note that the Courage used the same starting 11 midweek, so they are going to be some tired legs going into this one. And for both of these games, but especially this one, was about as good as a start as you could hope for. I mean, Lynn gets a shot on target within the first 30 seconds. Gotham keeps pulling the Courage in and out of their defensive shape by Berger just holding onto the ball, drawing their forwards up the field and finding outlet passes, and it's just opening them up. Gotham's winning the first balls, they're winning the second balls, they're out possessing the Courage early, and then, you know, Lynn, she's always in the right spot. She finds a loose ball for her first of the season, the first half goal scored by this team this season, and the 300th in club history. The second half, I mean, Gotham just takes their foot off the pedal a little bit. You know, they dare the Courage to break them down, and they almost do as Sanchez hits the post. Gotham never really regains momentum. They just basically hang on in the end. And in the end, a shutout at home. Your thoughts, Ruby?
I love that Gotham started quick this match. And Gotham looked really determined and confident on the pitch from like the first second. And 3 episodes ago, I said, just give it 2 more games and Gotham is going to start finding chemistry on the pitch. And this was the game that I was waiting for to see if it was really going to happen. So I was really happy to see that they won and they've gained that confidence back.
Yeah, it's good to win at home finally for these fans. They deserve it. They've been going through it. And, you know, Gotham, as you mentioned, is starting to come alive. And as you said, that the connections are building. Speaking of the connections, I think Nyswanger and Williams' connections is something that's just special. They just understand each other. And what a night for those two defensively. They were completely, completely locked down on the left side. Williams won all of her tackles. She won all of her aerial duels. She had 8 recoveries. And then Jenna was just everything. She's always been good offensively, but she's learning the defensive side of the ball, and she's becoming a really good defensive outside back. She got 3 interceptions, 5 tackles, which was the most in the team. She won 8 ground duels, which is the most in the team. She won all of her aerial duels, and she has been more involved than any other player. She's had at least 20 more touches than any other player over this past like 3 or 4 games. So the left side of our team is amazing.
Incredible. Those are incredible numbers. I'm pretty sure she's going to be in the Olympics. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they got to get Nyswanger and Lynn on the field at the same time because they're just so, so good. I would also say that Sheehan was absolutely putting the work in this one. Her heat map was all over the pitch, top to bottom.
She's good. She's really good. She's so good on the pitch, like passing, winning balls. She's like solid player. She's also a strong player. She doesn't really like easily get knocked down, and I like that about her. The only thing I wish she would do more is like just shoot.
Oh gosh. Honestly, I was a little bit like that as a player too. Like I was just putting in the work everywhere, but like you get me anywhere near the goal, my heart's running like 200 miles an hour. And she had one shot in this game where it was like straight down the middle. Nobody's really contesting her. And she just like passed it to the keeper. And I was like, oh, come on, Delaney, just get it on. She got it on frame, which is part of the solution. But yeah. So any other takeaways from this match?
So I think it's not bad at all. This game was not bad at all. And I think that the Courage having a midweek game really helped Gotham in this one.
Yeah, it's an early 6-pointer for us. And the Courage got no points from that 2-game week. So that's well done. Mm-hmm. And we are done with the Courage for the rest of the season. So they are a top team. 1-1 against them is not too bad.
Yeah, not bad.
I was also going to say that it is a crime that Nyswanger does not have at least 2 assists in this game. Her service has just been so on point, and we'll get to it in the second game as well. But this team just cannot finish. Mm-hmm. I mean, even on the goal itself, that sequence that where it was 4 touches too many, that ball across the 6 from Nyswanger was just being begging to be put in the back of the net, and Esther like flubs it a little bit. Good on the team for recovering that and putting it in the back of the net, but man, Jenna is just putting in such beautiful passes. It's just, yeah.
I think her shots are really nice placed. Just with the other end, they have to be really good at receiving that ball and just making it in. I don't know what's going on with Gotham right now. And it's been, I mean, it's like the tale that never ends, that we just keep talking about it every week. I was hoping, you know, like to see something different, but hey, it's still early into the season, so maybe we'll see much better after. Like, maybe let's give it another two games and they'll start scoring more goals.
Yeah, the first shutout for Berger as well. And Williams said on Berger that, "I think you can start your attack with your keeper. It's really exciting to see. Also knowing mm-hmm. that you can not only trust her going forward, but trust her that she's not going to let anything in. I'm just continuing to be excited to play with her. I know that sounds weird, like why would a forward be excited to play for a keeper? But we're so far away from each other. But the amount of times that we talk to each other in games and in signals to each other, it's a lot. So yes, I think that is true."
Yeah. And I think, of course, there's always 11 players on the pitch playing. But sometimes you don't really count the goalie because they're not really in the attack. But like she said, this is different because you can count her as an actual other player that like will give you and she'll create chances on the pitch. So I really like that about Berger.
This is what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks, and they were questioning about, you know, with Cassie. Gotham needs their keeper to be part of their buildup. And obviously, you know, Anne's leadership is important there as well. She had 10 accurate long balls in this one. So she was just slinging them around. And again, I'll go back to that. She was a very big part of pulling the Courage out of their defensive shape. And that helped Gotham's attack in the first half immensely. So mm-hmm. any stats of the game, Ruby?
So my stat of the game is, of course, Lynn Williams scores the 300th goal for Gotham. That is incredible. I feel like she's making history all around. And yeah, I think she's just an incredible player. So well deserved.
It had to be her.
Yeah, I know. It. Who else?
Yeah, right. And my stat of the game is the 50. So 50th appearance for Hyatt, Stevens, and Martins. Congrats to all of them. I hope to get all of them on the podcast at some point. They're all interesting people. And our interview with Martin was amazing. And she's a player that, you know, we talk about a lot, like the type of player where, you know, they just need a chance. And Martin found the right place, the right system, and it works for her. And her to make her mark on this league is pretty impressive. So
yeah, something that I want to mention, her long throw-ins are ridiculous. They're so good.
Yeah, it's super, super fun. And a player of the hero of the game, fans chose Williams, 51%, Berger at 36%. She had a couple of good saves. Nicewanger and Sheehan at around 6 and 7%. Do you agree, Ruby?
I'm going to agree with the fans, and I'm going to go with Williams just because she had that winning goal, and it was the 300th goal.
I am going to agree and disagree. Well, kind of. I'm going with the 57% option, which is Nicewanger and Williams. I think for everything we talked about earlier, I don't think you can celebrate one and not the other in this game. I think they were just a perfect pair. So let's get to the second game. Now, this is Wednesday, our first Wednesday game of the season away at Houston. Momentum is heading Gotham's way, it seems, and Gotham's getting healthier, but they still haven't scored in their previous two away matches, and Gotham has yet to score more than one goal in any game so far. And Houston has not lost to Gotham in five meetings, yet they haven't won at home in six games. They became the second team to get a point off of KC and held them to one goal, so that's good for them. Injuries, we have Kristen Edmonds up to questionable, which is awesome. Otherwise, the same injury list, and Maitani Lopez is off of the injury list, which is awesome. The formation, we have a similar formation to last week. However, we add Macy Bell instead of Bruninha at right back. We got Crystal Dunn in the midfield instead of Ryan, and that same front line of Esther, Stevens, and Williams. Good for Stevens to get a second start. Your thoughts on the lineup, Ruby?
Yes, I was glad to see Stevens starting in another game, which is great. I really like her performance in the last game. So she earned this start. Another one that we got is Dunn. We got Dunn instead of Ryan in this one. So I was glad to see Ryan. And like you said, Macy Bell started in this game. And I like that Amoros gives the players like some rest.
Yeah, this was funny because sometimes like FotMob, Google, they'll get their lineups wrong. And you know, when Gotham puts their lineup on like Twitter and Facebook, it's always this one list of players. So you kind of have to guess where they're all going to be. So I saw this lineup on ThoughtMob and on Google, and I saw Bell as the right back and then Dunn in the midfield. Like, that doesn't sound right. It's I'm assuming Sonnet is going to be in the midfield because I just didn't trust it. But it turns out that is exactly what it was. And Bell gets her first start as a right back. Amoros, the mad scientist, strikes again. And yeah, what a crazy, crazy lineup. Now, there are three players that have started all seven games, Ruby. Who are they?
Three players. Has to be, oh my God. It's not Dunn. It's Sheehan. Sheehan is one. Martin has not. Esther?
Yeah, that's two.
Yep. And the last one I'm going to say, Sonnet.
You got it. All three.
Oh, I didn't look this up.
Yeah, I had to double check Sonnet, but she came back from the early games healthy, so she's been playing. Now, this ref, Rodriguez, has a thing for giving out cards. So in her last couple of games as a ref, she gave out four cards in this game. She gave out eight cards the one before that, seven cards and two double yellows to red cards, six yellow cards, and then another yellow to red card, three yellow cards. It's like she had one game where she gave four double yellows. So this is a ref that likes to impose herself on the game. So it is makes it even more impressive that Sonnet made it out of there without a yellow card.
You get a yellow and you get a yellow and you get a yellow.
Yeah. And so going into this one, I put a poll out for the fans to see, because it felt like if there was going to be a game that Gotham was going to get more than one goal, this was going to be it. And 87% of the fans said this was going to be the first multiple goal game of the season. And then only 13%, the pessimists, take a wait and see approach. And yeah, we'll get to that later. But I just want to say how nice it is to play Houston away this early in the season. I think since we've been covering this team, Ruby, it's been like mid-June, mid-July.
Yeah.
And I still remember that one game where I think Gaetan Tini came onto the team. She played one game for like a short period of time, and then Freya had her play in 90 minutes in like the Houston heat. And she was just never the same after that. And she just wanted to get out of here.
She was like, I'm done. This is not for me. Take me back.
Yeah. So this was a very shaky first 5 minutes, and Gotham gets a goal against the run of play. This one maybe was because, you know, there's so many new players playing new positions, which was a pretty shaky first 5 minutes. But Dunn's first touch to set up this goal was immaculate. Like, this is exactly how you want to teach young players how to turn with the ball. She's got her back to goal. Sheehan finds her, and she just turns into space, and she is a full head of steam right off that first touch. She finds Nyswanger wide, and Nyswanger puts in just the perfect cross right in the middle of the six. Ella finds it first, puts it on goal. Campbell makes a pretty good save. Then Lynn, you know, being Lynn, she's always in the right place at the right time, puts it in the back of the net. And then, you know, she ties hashtag once Gotham Sam Kerr for the most goals in regular season history. And then what follows is a complete and utter dominance from Gotham. Chance after chance, Klim can't get out of their own half, and they're just taking frustration fouls, just chaos in front of Houston's net over and over again. And Gotham does the smart thing and just controls the game, you know, may or not. Midweek games in that heat are brutal, and I'm just glad they just got out of there with a win.
Yeah, that was a crazy game, but it was a really great game. And I was part of the optimistic people that thought that we were going to score more than one goal. Silly me, I guess, for thinking that. But I think this was kind of like a little bit kind of a repeat of the game against the Courage. We got that early goal right from the beginning, and then we were just holding them off, making sure they didn't score. I guess that worked for the last one, so they were sticking to the same thing. But I would like to see more goals.
Getting a point in Houston is a good thing, especially you know, midweek with rotated lineup. Just got to say, this defense is spectacular. I mean, you cannot, as we always say, you can't lose if your opponent can't score.
Yeah. Their defense is pretty good. They got Nielsen through a trade. She used to play for Angel City, And now she's in Houston. I don't know why Angel City gave her up, but this was a good trade executed by Houston to get her in Houston to play for the Dash. And Schmidt is also another great defender, also a veteran in the league. So it was tough for them to beat the Dash.
Yeah. And they held KC to one goal too. So, you know, mm-hmm. they're no slouch defensively, even though they don't get forward much. Now, I just call them Batwoman and Robin on the left side of the field because Williams and Nyswanger are just, again, the perfect pair. I think they're probably the best outside back wing pairing in the league. You can probably argue that Short and Robin are pretty good for Washington, but I would take these two over them, over anybody. Again, the understanding of each other is just something special.
Yeah, they're building a really nice partnership right there. And I think these two games were great just to get Gotham in a very better position. And Nyswanger and Williams were just amazing out there. As they keep playing, you know, they're starting to get used to each other, and great partnership. We have so many good players, but I'm just so excited about their partnership because Nyswanger has some great, her shots are so good. And like you said, Lynn Williams is always like in the right spot to finish those off.
And then when Lynn comes inside, Jenna can go outside. And when mm-hmm. Lynn's outside, Jenna comes inside. They're a perfect pair.
Yeah. Jenna is a defender with an attacking mindset. And then we have Williams, which she's attacking with a defensive mindset. So it's great.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well done to the scouting department. I think Berger is obviously a perfect fit for the style of play. And then sometimes you get the thought of like, you know, if it's not broken, like why fix it?
Yeah.
But you can see why sometimes you got to fix it, even if it's not broken, because Cassie was doing fine. But Berger is a whole nother athlete. And she stepped in and had good performances. And Stevens looks perfect for this lineup. Similar to, you know, how Stengel fit in right away last mm-hmm. season.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle of the season. So Stevens looks good connecting with her teammates. She's better than I thought she would be at being a assist person. And I think she's going to be an important piece of this club going into, you know, the international breaks and the Olympics. So I think I'm really, really happy to see Stevens grow the rest of this season.
Yeah, that's true. And talking about Stengel, she didn't play in this game because she was out with injury, which is a bummer, but hopefully we get her back on the pitch. I really like Stengel. She hasn't scored in this season yet, but just wait for it. She's so good.
Yeah. I'm going to dub this game the great experiment because it was an experimental lineup. I mean, Gotham was trying different types of free kicks. They were trying different mm-hmm. corner kick plays. Players were shifting all over the pitch. I mean, Stevens dropped back to right back at one point and Esther is everywhere on the pitch, and it just felt like Gotham was just experimenting and trying things, which is good when you're playing midweek and you're against a team that frankly isn't going to propose much of a threat going forward.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah, that's true. Like you said, I really love that they were trying new things out there so it doesn't get, you know, repetitive, so they don't like know what, like they don't expect what you're going to do next. That's why I really like this. And they have the players to do it because they're all such good players. They have the speed, like Dunn, like Esther and William. So those short passes that they were doing, I think it was really good to confuse the Houston Dash. And like you said, it was really great that they did it with this team just to be like, to be ready for the other teams and see what's working and what's not.
And also, I just want to shout out to Macy Bell, her first start. 90 minutes in the heat in Houston is not an easy thing to do, especially switching over to right back, but well done. And on to post-game quotes, Gotham FC forward Ella Stevens said on Gotham FC's depth, she says, yeah, it's really important to have depth, especially when you have three game weeks like this one. I think mm-hmm. everybody is stepping up into whatever role they're asked to do. I'm just really happy with how we've shown up over these past two games.
Yeah, it's been incredible, especially like you said, this week they're playing a lot of games. So like I said before, I'm really glad that Amoros is like switching players and giving them some rest. They need it.
Yeah, and we're going to get players like Edmonds, Zerboni, Sinead's yeah. back. We still have Torres on the squad. So I think this is a good place, you know, for mid-season when we start getting the storm of Olympics and tournaments and all kinds of stuff. So I think we're in a pretty good spot right now. just got to keep getting healthier. And obviously, we do want to think about it, but the Olympics are right around the corner. I mean, the national teamers are going to start to play the She Believes Cup soon, I think. Then they're going to be gone. Then we're looking at national team replacement players. So the depth of this team will be tested sooner than later. So let's get wins while we can.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of things are happening this year. So yeah, it's going to be challenging for Gotham to see if they can secure another championship this year.
So stats of the game, Ruby, what do you got?
So you already said it, but my stat of the game is that this was Macy Bell's first NWSL regular season debut. I think she did great. She started a little rusty in the beginning. She was a little rusty, but I guess that was just the nerves, because as the game went on, she kept getting better and better. And I think she had a solid performance.
Yeah, she's a unique athlete. She's got height, and I think we mentioned this on a previous podcast, but she like set a school record for the high jump. So she's a big target on a lot of Gotham set pieces, as Neely Barton's doing her long throws. Mm-hmm. Just aim for her, because she'll get there. And my stat of the game was 34 clearances for Houston and only 3 for Gotham. Gotham had 8 corners to their 0. Gotham had Houston just pinned in this entire game. And I just want to point out that Gotham was very physical in this matchup. It's 61% in overall duels, 58% on the ground duels, and 71% in the air, thanks to having Macy Bell in there. I'm sure that helped.
Yeah.
But let's get over to the hero of the game. The fans chose Nyswanger and Williams, essentially dead even. Nyswanger at 48% and Williams at 43%. Ooh. Dunn and Hyatt at 4 and 5%. Ruby, do you agree?
I do agree that Nyswanger and Williams had a great game. And like we were just talking about how they're building this partnership, that it's really good for the team and they complement each other really well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same as I went with the first game. I got Nyswanger and Williams together. I'll go with the 90% of the fans. Jenna's been just spectacular these past 2 games. And obviously, similar for Lynn Williams, winning all of her duels, being a defensive forward as she is. But another game where Jenna had 8 recoveries, 4 chances created. She won 86% of her ground duels, 86% passing. She had, again, the most touches on the team, and she was the second highest rated on FotMob. I think that she was only the second highest rated because she got the yellow card, which was a really dumb yellow card. So, Jenna, you got to do better. You can't put us in those positions where you get a yellow card that early for something stupid. But another fantastic, fantastic game for her.
Yeah, and I have a random thought for that yellow card. We'll get to that later.
Okay, good. The standings. Now, as we talked earlier, KC and Orlando Pride are tied at the top. And they don't play each other until later on the season, too. So that's going to be a fun race to watch them, too, because they look heads and tails above everybody else right now. Then following behind them is Washington and Portland Thorns. Chicago in number 5 is interesting because I just don't know how far they're going to go without Mallory Swanson. I think she's keeping them afloat right now, and I don't know. I kind of worry for that team. I think they're going to have a rapid descent if Mallory Swanson misses time, especially with the Olympics. Yeah. Then the Courage in Gotham. Well, the Courage is above us. Then our next opponent, the Wave and Gotham, have had a really similar start to this season. I mean, we have similar records. We're hanging on for that last 2 playoff spots. So Gotham is above the line for the first time in 2 weeks, which is good. Last season, it was really hard for teams to separate. It was like the pack just never separated. It was always like there's no like haves and have-nots last season. It was just all haves. And this season, you get the feeling like there are some have-nots in this standings, like Utah, Houston, Bay, Seattle. You feel like, okay, maybe Seattle maybe can climb up a little bit, but I feel like we're looking at the bottom of the table for a little while. We'll see. Any thoughts on the standings?
It's just crazy. But like you said, it will be really interesting to see KC and Orlando play. Let's see how long they can keep this record going, undefeated, both of them. It's kind of crazy. But I actually love it. Now it's kind of like, who's going to lose first?
It does make it a little bit very exciting at the top of the table. And both teams, I think KC's going to play their 3rd game in a week, and they're having trouble with getting flights and stuff like that this week. It's been nuts for them. So if there's a chance to beat. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard. And also this is not soccer related, but the WNBA is getting charter planes now. So hopefully in the near future, the NWSL can do the same thing for these players.
Yeah, do better in WSL. That's crazy, especially with all these crazy tournaments and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The travel is craziness.
Like this year is going to be crazy. Gotham's going to be traveling so much. So how are they going to figure that out? Hopefully they have a good plan.
Yeah. So we got the Wave away on that terrible field, which gives me nightmares. And yeah, I'm excited for this game. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, nightmares is right, because that field, I don't really like their field. So, but what I think about this matchup, I think that, of course, all NWSL like teams are great competition. They're great competitors. But the next game will be really interesting to play San Diego Wave. We have a new goalie, and there has been a lot of changes within the team, new positions that players have played in recent games. So I think they're going to see a different Gotham than they saw for the Challenge Cup.
Agreed. And legendary Gotham killer Alex Morgan has missed the last two games. So I will take this defense against anybody, Morgan or not. But if Morgan isn't there, I like our chances.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think she'll play this weekend. She has an Olympics to look forward to. So
we'll see.
I think she'll probably sit.
What are we manifesting?
Oh, my God. Okay. So let's manifest another win. Uh-huh. And maybe a three-goal game, maybe.
I am on the side of the pessimists here. It's they have to, like, prove it that they can do it before I allow them to. But let's I'm not going to be as much as you. I will hope that this – I will manifest. You see how shaky I am. A two-goal performance. I think Gotham can get two. Can they get two?
Can they? We sound so yeah, we have a lot of confidence right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they just got to show it. Once they do it, maybe you know, push that ball down the hill. But we'll see what happens. Any random thoughts before we go?
Yeah, so I have a random thought regarding the silly yellow that Nice Wonger got for kicking the ball, because it was like she was taking time away from the game or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that was silly. Why did she get a yellow for that? And it just reminded me of the one time I got a really silly yellow while I was playing soccer. So I was coming in as a sub, and I was so excited to go play that I got on the field before my teammate got out. So I got a yellow for that. I was so confused. I was like, wait, what's going on? I was like, oh, crap, really? Like, I got a yellow because I couldn't wait, and my teammate was still in the field. So that was my silly yellow.
Yeah, that's a silly yellow. And Jenna almost did it again later on in the game, too.
I know. She went back to, like, the side ref, and she was like, I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. So my random thought is I'm going to try to follow the WNBA closer this season. I just got the WNBA season pass on their app.
Ooh.
Which is silly, because when you're signing up for this app, like, I know I'm old, okay? So I'm old. But, like, they make you, when you try to sign up, they bring up this, like, calendar app, and you got to scroll. You can't just type in, like, I am this old. You have to, like, go back month by month. So I have to, like,
by month?
Yeah. So I'm like going back. It's like 2 minutes later, I'm like still in the 2000s. I'm like, oh gosh, this is for people that are younger.
Oh
than
my
me.
God, I can't.
Yeah,
seriously. Like, I think I have to go make an account just to see, like, this can't be it. There has to be an easier way.
Yeah.
So you were there how long? 10 minutes?
4 minutes. We'll say 4 minutes. I'm not that old.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
Took me forever. So quickly, that quote I was telling you about earlier, one of my favorite books I ever read was Journey to Islam. It's mm-hmm. a book by Carlos Castaneda. And this was like right at the right time of my life where I was like doing a lot of like soul searching and mm-hmm. trying to figure out who I was and things like that. And I went through a lot of stuff and, you know, self-medicating by reading a lot. And it's a book about how to become a warrior, not in the traditional sense of like, you know, being a physical warrior, but like being mm-hmm. like a self like introspective and working on yourself, becoming, you know, an inside warrior. And one of the quotes in there that's like stuck with me was the difference between a warrior and an ordinary man is that, and just men or whatever you want to call it. So the difference between a warrior and an ordinary man is that an ordinary man sees everything as a blessing or a curse, where a warrior sees everything as a challenge. And that has been like the mantra that's always played in my head. Whatever happens to me, I always take it as like, okay, do better next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Like take it as a challenge. I'm not good at that yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I never look down at myself and say like, okay, look, I'm cursed. I'm never going to be good at this. It's like, okay, I'm not good at this now.
But oh, that's a good one. Thank you. I'll remember that one. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. It's what we did with this podcast. We jumped in and I was not good at it.
We were terrible.
Yeah. But took it as a challenge. And every week you get a little bit better and you get there.
Yeah, that's true. And it takes practice. You have to do it over and over to master something. I'm always expecting to have it like perfect at the first time, but we all know it doesn't happen that way. But yeah, I like it. I like that quote. And now we're going to go to our rain sound. Just kidding.
Yeah. All right. So I am ready for this away game at San Diego. Are you ready, Ruby?
I am so ready.
All right. Let's go, fans.
Let's go.
And good night. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public Store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at soccerovergotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. Thank you.